what we learned investigating the death of Chicano student activist Oscar Gomez.
It sounds like you ran almost every theory to its end.
Binge all 8 episodes of Imperfect Paradise, The Forgotten Revolutionary, wherever you get your podcasts.
Nearly a week ago, Los Angeles City Councilman Mike Bonin committed that homeless Venice residents who are living in encampments along the boardwalk will be provided housing, and that that area will be cleared of camps by early August. Housing and support services are going to be offered starting today to relocate up to 200 unhoused people who are living in tents there in that area along the boardwalk of Venice. With us is frequent AirTalk guest, president and CEO of St. Joseph Center, which is based in Venice but provides services throughout Los Angeles County, Valicia Adams-Kellum. Ms. Adams-Kellum, thank you so much for joining us again on Air Talk. Are you out there on the boardwalk as we speak?
Well, I had to call in, and so I'm in my office just a couple of blocks away. But as soon as we get off, I'll be right back at the boardwalk.
Very good. And share with us what the plan is. Is there a systematic approach to this that you're going to be undertaking?
Well, absolutely, and thanks so much for having me. We believe that the best approach, first of all, is to build on the relationships that we have with everyone that's out there. And we've been out there for the last year doing whatever we could to keep people from getting COVID. So that means, you know, taking food, testing people for COVID-19, and now distributing the vaccine. And we're building on those relationships. We've housed some people. We housed 19 people last week. And today we're going to start with a zone-by-zone approach to getting people housed and stably, you know, moving along to a healthier way of living.
Do you have either hotel or motel units or some other sort of shelter that is waiting for people who are living on the boardwalk?
Absolutely. We have a two-pronged approach, which we think is really important. We need to be able to provide immediate housing. And so we will have interim housing available, motels, project room key beds, some home key beds, and also some shelter slots. As people say yes, we want to immediately respond. Some people will need help taking down their tents. Some of the larger encampments will require additional support from sanitation, and we'll go from there. But definitely have immediate slots. And then for everyone that we move into interim housing, we've secured COVID recovery rehousing vouchers. They operate like rapid rehousing, and we will be then moving folks from interim into permanent housing once we've secured an apartment.
Now, for some of the encampments, these are like little communities in which people live, and they may be reluctant to leave their friends and people that they're sharing their lives with. Is there a way that you can accommodate moving groups of people, or is that not realistic?
Well, we'll do everything we can. I mean, we will be using a number of motels in, you know, 10 to 15 mile radius, some even closer. And some of the motels will allow us to accommodate, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 people, 6, maybe 10, depending on the motel room availability. So it's possible that some of the folks will be able to stay together. And we definitely have engaged a wide array of folks. Over 100 and so people have already, you know, met with us and signed paperwork and said yes to case management. And, you know, like I said, last week we housed 19 folks. So we're already on our way, and we do hope that everyone says yes and they'll get some time, because as you've probably heard, this is a 6-week endeavor and it'll be zone by zone. And we know that for some people, it'll take some time to say yes, but we want to get everybody to yes.
We're talking with Valicia Adams-Kellum, who's the head of St. Joseph Center, which provides services and connects people with housing throughout Los Angeles County, but they themselves are based in Venice. So she's really, you know, been at the front row to view what's going on in the community where her organization is located. Valicia, let's talk a little bit about what happens to people's things? Because, you know, often for people, as you know better than any of us, they're very attached to their possessions that they've collected over the years. If a motel or hotel room isn't able to accommodate that, what happens to their things?
Well, it's a good question. I mean, we will help people go through their things and determine what they want to keep and what they want to take with them to the motel. And then we have some storage lined up. We're grateful to the City of Los Angeles, the mayor's office, and Parks and Rec and the other partners. Councilmember Bonin has helped us find some storage units so that people don't have to make critical decisions between, you know, housing and some of their prized possessions. And so we're going to be able to provide storage. And then the other thing is folks will have things that they want to get rid of and hand over to sanitation department folks. And so that will also be available. And I think that we've come up with enough resources that people don't have to give up things that are really important to them.
Well, I know you need to get back out there because your team is doing important work on the Boardwalk of Venice. Thank you so much, Felicia. We appreciate you being with us again and talking about what St. Joseph is doing.
Thanks for having me.
We appreciate it. That's Felicia Adams-Kellum, President CEO of St. Joseph Center, which is taking the lead on this effort to see people living on the Venice Boardwalk rehoused into a different, you know, formal living arrangement instead of living on the boardwalk, which has created tremendous tension between the residents as well as the people who are unhoused living in tents on the boardwalk. Also joining us, Los Angeles City Councilman who represents the district that includes Venice, Mike Bonin. Councilman, thank you for being with us today.
Oh, thanks for having me, Larry. Appreciate it.
So you have a timeline, I believe it's 6 weeks, in which you expect that all those living on the boardwalk will be rehoused during that time. What are some of the inducements that are being offered to folks living in tents who might be very happy where they are to get them to make that move?
Housing. Housing, which is safe, which is secure, which is clean, which is vastly different than where they are. I mean, there's two different approaches to the situation that we're facing with you know, a couple hundred people living outside in encampments that are unacceptable and unsafe and unsanitary. It's bad for neighbors and it's bad for the people who are living in the encampments themselves. One approach is to say we're going to clear the boardwalk by any means necessary and push people somewhere else. The other, the approach that St. Joe's and I are taking and the county is taking, is to say we are going to offer everybody here housing, a consequence of which will be that the public space gets back to general public use. And what often happens with programs like this is that the city will offer temporary housing and then pray really hard that permanent housing comes online at some point. In this case, St. Joseph's Center has permanent housing lined up. They've got permanent housing vouchers. And while those get processed and people get put into the right places, we are offering people immediately the opportunity to get off the street safely into temporary and interim housing. So it's a whole different path than is usually offered. It's actual long-term housing.
So for those, though, that are not interested in whatever the housing offer is, perhaps because it's several miles away or they want to stay with their friends or whatever, what are the options there? Because it's understandable that there'll be people who will take this offer. It's also understandable there'll be some people who will not want to. What happens then?
Well, first of all, what we're going to be offering is a whole menu of different housing solutions. Some will be rapid rehousing vouchers. Some will be housing that has wraparound services that people may want or need. Some of it will be shared housing. For some people, it may be reunification back to where they originally came from. So there's a wide menu. It's not a cookie cutter, take this or else. It's here's a whole range of options for you. And what we have found when other council members like Mark Ridley talked Thomas or Nithya Raman have done programs like this, is the vast majority of people, the vast majority, say yes to housing. So let's start with that. We think the vast majority will say yes. And then during the process of this, as we do zone after zone after zone, and people start seeing people being successfully housed and seeing the community moving indoors, that creates sort of a momentum and an inducement as well. And then at the end of it, if there's a couple stragglers, at the end of it, you know, they're going to have to be, they'll be told you can no longer camp here because this is now back to being a park and not a campground.
So does that mean forcible removal of those who, after all these different options have been exhausted?
Oh, I certainly think that we can work really hard to avoid forcible removal. I think that is something we want to do everything we can to avoid. And I don't think it's an absolutely necessary consequence or outcome.
What happens then to new arrivals who come over the course of the summer and move on to the boardwalk? Or do they become eligible for this, or what happens?
No, I mean, there's a limited amount of housing resources. This is a program for people who are there today. So what we're telling people, what we're encouraging people to do is do not start camping down here, because this is going to be, by the end of the summer, a no camping zone, and we have the housing resources for the people who were here at the start of the program.
I'm just wondering, though, for people who are living in encampments in other parts of the city, if they see the people that are on the Venice Boardwalk getting a fast track to this permanent housing, whether strategically they might go to the Venice Boardwalk with a better chance that they would get housing.
Well, St. Joseph Center has been out there for several weeks doing outreach and identifying people who are out there. So we have a pretty decent handle on who is there. Hopefully that will sort of help mitigate. They have, you know, sort of a virtual registry of people who have been there. But if that starts happening, then this is actually a very powerful argument for why we need to be doing more of this approach citywide. And it also is a very powerful rewriting of the very strong conservative narrative out there that says everybody is housing resistant and people want to live on the streets. If we have more people that want housing than we have available, then that really tells us the truth about the situation out there.
We're talking with Los Angeles City Councilman Mike Bonin, who represents Venice, among other communities in his district. April in South Los Angeles writes on the page, was what was being talked about the rapid rehousing program that assists people with rent for a limited amount of time, usually a year or less, dealing with people who are starting their lives over from scratch? Isn't there a high risk they could end up right back in homelessness after that period?
Well, there is if you use rapid rehousing vouchers the wrong way. I mean, rapid rehousing vouchers are not for everybody. Like I said, this is not a cookie-cutter, one-size-fits-all approach. For some people, that voucher is the right one. For other people, it's going to be a Section 8 low-income voucher. For other people, if they're a veteran, it's going to be a special veterans voucher. There's different types of vouchers and there's different types of placements, and you base people based on what their particular needs require.
We have listener Delarin, who writes on the page and brings up when you went to Echo Park and stood with the protesters on the holdouts who were in Echo Park not being removed from the park. And so Delarin's point is, when it comes down to it, isn't that going to be the same thing in Venice, that you're not going to be willing to remove people who aren't willing to go?
No, not at all. One, I actually wasn't at Echo Park during the incident, so that's incorrect. But two, that was a very different approach. That was a sort of a timeline that was announced for people very quickly, short term. We have a long phased-in approach to this of 6 weeks, and people have known this has been coming for a while. That was a situation where I think the LAPD were unfairly put in the position of having to be there in large numbers, and that is not the kind of approach we're taking. We are leading with housing, and to the extent LAPD is there, because they're down at the beach, they will be taking a sort of a fallback posture, and will be supportive of protecting community safety as they do in the neighborhood, and making sure everything goes well. But they're not going to be involved in the actual housing outreach effort.
Alan in Sierra Madre says property owners may not be willing to take those vouchers, particularly if they don't trust having formerly unhoused people as tenants. So is there an alternative to dealing with that potential problem?
Well, I mean, the fact that we have the vouchers is step one. Then finding the people who will accept the vouchers is step two. And the county is stepping in, and they are providing us with the resources, what they call housing locators, who help us find the willing tenants. There are more and more people who are willing to say yes to that. The program PATH, People Assisting the Homeless, has a very successful lease up. And what I think a lot of landlords find is that if they know they have a reliable source of income and that they know that there is a service provider who is engaged with helping this person, that it actually guarantees they get rent and there's somebody who's doing the service provision, that it's a little bit easier for them than otherwise.
Councilman, thank you so much for being with us today and talking about this effort that begins today to move people from the Venice Boardwalk into permanent and supportive housing. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Larry. Take care.
Mike Bonin, L.A. City Councilman. His 11th district includes not just Venice, but Brentwood, Pacific Palisades, and other districts of Los Angeles, the far west area of the city. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. 1984 was a huge year in sports, particularly for Los Angeles, with the LA Summer Olympic Games and Magic and Bird meeting for the first time in an NBA championship. And there was much more than that, too, in team sports, individual sports like tennis. With us from Sports Illustrated, L. John Wertheim, whose book is Glory Days, The Summer of 84 and the 90 Days That Changed Sports and Culture Forever. We'll talk with him in just 90 seconds on Air Talk.
Support comes from Ciclavia, catalyzing vibrant public spaces, active transportation, and good health through car-free streets. Ciclavia promotes respect and infrastructure for bike and pedestrian-friendly public spaces. Enjoy these pop-up parks for the day in your favorite people-powered way. Jogging, biking, skating, strolling, or simply spectating. Free and open to all, Ciclavia Sundays generate miles of smiles in neighborhoods all over L.A. Details at www.ciclavia.org.